NTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with African men's basketball. The Basketball Africa League begins its second season on Saturday in Dakar, Senegal. Dakar Université Club will host Seydou Legacy Athletic Club of Guinea in the opening game.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League. Please join me Saturday for our pregame show at 1700 UTC GMT. And then we'll have coverage of the opening game, which begins at 1730 UTC GMT. Joining me now for a special Basketball Africa League roundtable discussion are three gentlemen. First, my VOA colleague, Eddie Rima. Eddie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sonny. How are you doing? Good to be with you today.
Thank you, Eddie. Also joining us by telephone from Dakar, Senegal, is John Manuel Plange, head of strategy and operations for the Basketball Africa League. John, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely my pleasure. It's great to be on with you guys.
Also on the Voice of America is Arnold Quisera. Arnold is a CNBC Africa Markets editor and sports commentator. And Arnold is on the line from Kigali, Rwanda. How are you this evening, Arnold?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. Hope everyone is good.
I'm going to bring it over to Eddie.
Thank you so very much, Sonny. To start this off, I would like John Manuel Plange, please set the scene for us. How is the excitement down there in Dakar?
Well, things are coming along quite nicely. We are a good hours away from launching season two of the Basketball Africa League. As most of you must know, we launched the BAL last year in a bubble scenario in Kigali, Rwanda. It was extremely successful. We were, you know, very pleased with the launch of the league, of the product, of the brand, and the reception that it got globally. Now, of course, you know, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. However, with vaccines being a lot more available, especially on the African continent, we have decided to be a lot more ambitious, and we are now expanding into three markets. We're going to be playing here in Dakar. The NAL conference will be playing here from March 5th through the 15th. Then the Sahara conference will be playing in Cairo from April 9th through the 19th. And then we are going to have the playoffs and finals in Rwanda, in Kigali, the 21st of May through the 28th. So the 5th is right around the corner, and we're looking forward to the opening tip.
Arnold, we'll come to you very shortly there in Kigali, but I want to ask my VOA colleague, Eddie, tell us a little bit about your background and what VOA Kenya Rwanda has planned in terms of Basketball Africa League coverage.
I think, Sonny, the reason we're doing this right now is because we've got a partnership with BAL and the NBA. And part of our bargain is to transmit all these games to all the followers of basketball Africa across the African continent, and Rwanda being one of the countries that has a team in the Basketball Africa League. So it was imperative for us to have these games live to Rwanda. So basically, the Kenya-Rwanda service of the Voice of America is going to be transmitting these games live, especially games that involve the Rwandan team, which is the Rwanda Energy Group. So basically, that's the connection that Basketball Africa has with Rwanda and the Voice of America. Africa. And the fact that Rwanda was the first country to host this game is something big for Rwandans. And probably Arnold will tell us the kind of excitement that this kind of games bring to a city like Kigali that hosted it, Arnold.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Tony. So I'll start with the glass being a little bit half empty. People in Kigali were so excited with the announcement after last year's Basketball Africa League. Now, remember, it was hosted in the midst of a pandemic. It was hosted in the bubble format. Kudos to the NBA Africa and Basketball Africa League for pulling it off, as well as the Rwandan government that were able to create those facilities. Rwanda built an arena, which is the Kigali Arena, which was built in record time. And that enabled, to have the infrastructure to set up such a tournament. And the team that represented Rwanda last year, the Patriots Basketball Club, also having a very remarkable history in regards to, being very patriotic and resilient as a club to be where they were. Unfortunately, they won't be able to represent Rwanda this year, but finishing in fourth position as well at that tournament, that enabled Rwanda to have an automatic spot, which Rwanda Energy Group, the current national champions, have been able to take up and will represent the country. But Kigali is excited. They thought the whole tournament this time would be around, but the format is different. Dakar, Senegal is one of those other countries that also built the arena. Actually, Senegal built an arena before Kigali, and a world-class facility it is. You can see the investments that have been done in regards to setting up infrastructure on the continent. But when you just look at the NBA at the moment, the runaway player, Joel Embiid, who is everybody's favorite, or most people's favorite, to be MVP at this particular point in the season. When you look at his background of where he started from in, Yaounde in Cameroon, and, picking up the sport of basketball at 13 years old, it tells you so much of the talent that is on the continent, like Pascal Siakam. Now, if players in Africa can have access to facilities similar to what's in Dakar, what's in Kigali, the coming in of the Basketball Africa League, the sky will just become a point of view. And I kid you, though, mark my words, we will have a minimum of 20 players in the NBA in the next 5 years coming in through the Basketball Africa League and NBA Africa program.
John Manyo-Plange, head of strategy and operations for the Basketball Africa League, in Dakar for the second season of the ball. John, kind of a overhaul in terms of the participating teams in year two of the BAL. Seven teams making their debut. In a kind of a general view, John, does that speak to the development of African basketball?
I think that absolutely does, and it also speaks to the results of what the Basketball Africa League is really meant to do, it, and it's meant to be a catalyst for the growth and development for the game of basketball on the African continent. And so to see the, infrastructure investments, the investments in players and coaching, in team organization that's happening across the continent, all with the goal of being able to participate and to qualify for the BAL, that's really what's spurring, this kind of growth in the club game. And so we're very, very pleased about that.
And, John, what distinguishes Basketball Africa League from other initiatives that are already on the continent? Some will remember of Basketball Without Borders. We have the Giants of Africa. We have tournaments like the ones organized by FIBA. So what's the difference between BAL and these other tournaments and initiatives that are also meant to develop the game of basketball on the African continent?
Sure. So we launched NBA Africa in 2010. We opened up our office in Johannesburg, and we really went about the business of building the brand and the sport of basketball across the continent. A big part of that was in developing the game at the grassroots level through junior NBA programs, through the junior NBA World Championships, doing camps and clinics, identifying talent and, you know, finding ways to incubate that talent and train them. And so that's where you have programs like Basketball Without Borders that is in partnership with FIBA, the Federation of International Basketball. We then built an academy here in Senegal, you know, that is a residential program for the, you know, top elite players that, you know, come out of the continent under the age of 19. Now, we've been talking for years about the fact that in order for us to really, you know, put our stamp on the game, the basketball development pyramid needed something to cap it off. And so that's where the idea for the BAL came in. And we, you know, spent quite a few years planning it, quite a few years putting the format together, you know, getting into a partnership with FIBA, which is a critical part of this, because you know, you essentially get with the BAL the best of what the NBA has to offer and the best of what FIBA has to offer, all coming together. So the BAL is the capstone of that basketball development pyramid, where a kid can start off playing basketball on the African continent and really see a pathway for their development throughout. And part of the reason why we formed the BAL as well, we were... 1 year during Basketball Without Borders, we had these life skills programs. And a college Egyptian kid stood up one day and asked us, what happens to those of us that don't make it? And all the adults in the room kind of looked around and said to ourselves, what does he mean by don't make it? And we inquired further, and for him, as an African young man, making it meant being plucked out of the continent. He didn't see a pathway for success for basketball on the African continent. And so we determined right then and there that we had to change that narrative. We had to give that young man and, you know, young people on the African continent a pathway to really play out their basketball dreams at the highest level without having to leave the continent. And that's what the BAL represents. It's the Champions League of club basketball for the African continent, run by the NBA and FIBA, you know, and it really puts the cap on all the work that we've done over the past decade and before in developing the sport on the continent.
John Monyo-Plange is the head of strategy and operations for the Basketball Africa League. Also joining us is my VOA colleague, Eddie Rima. And joining us from Kigali, Rwanda, Arnold Quizera, CNBC Africa Markets editor and sports commentator. Arnold, the Rwandan representative for season two of the Basketball Africa League is Rwanda Energy Group, or REG. Some interesting dynamics with that team. I think they're being coached by a former NBA player, Robert Pack. What else can you tell us about Rwanda Energy Group?
Rwanda Energy Group is a very solid outfit who have been in the National League, well-oiled, well-run, well-structured, have been close to winning the national championship locally for the past 3 to 4 seasons, and they've been losing out to the team that was first represented, Rwanda, which was the Patriots Basketball Club. But when you look at like the signings they've made going into this tournament, really quality signings. But I think what sets Rwanda Energy Group apart, and it's going to be a tall order for them. Bringing the coaching, yes, it's one thing. The coach that was there before, who also had coached Patriots as well, and led them to the national championship, a lot of pedigree, a lot of skills. But playing away from home, it's a different beast. It's a different animal, especially when you go to play in an environment like Dakar, Senegal, you know, with all that humid. You saw the performance of the national basketball team that had about four, five players coming in from the I run the energy group team, which just completed the AfroBasket Basket Championships, the qualifiers, which were as well held in Dakar, Senegal last week. And that team didn't win a single game in their pool, which also had the likes of South Sudan and Cameroon as well. But it will be a surprise if Rwanda Energy Group can go on to qualify to the next stage, being that Patriots, but in the first edition, the home crowd rallied them. They got a fairly easy draw, if you would say. And so Rwanda Energy Group will be swimming against the tide, in my view, in this tournament.
John Manuel Plange, looking at the investment side of this tournament, we know there's so many big shots that are behind this endeavor. We know of former President Barack Obama. We know of the general manager of Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
What kind of direction or what do you expect from these individuals that are trying to pull funds so that they can bring investments into the African continent? Try to bring a linkage between basketball and investments on the African continent, please.
Sure. So, you know, I think also it's worth making the distinction that, you know, these people that you just mentioned that have made these investments, they have come on board as partners of NBA Africa as a whole. The BAL is the premier elite league that NBA Africa runs on the African continent. But this also encompasses all of the NBA's activities on the African continent. Now, specifically to the BAL and all the investments that are being made on the African continent by us and by, you know, all of these other people, I think it really highlights the fact that sports and, for us, basketball specifically, can be a tool for economic growth and be an economic engine for the African continent. You know, when you look at the sports and entertainment landscape globally, it's a huge multi-trillion-dollar industry globally. But on the African continent, it is not quite viewed the same way. And we think that there's great potential because of the, you know, youth of the continent from a demographic standpoint, the, you know, young workforce, the fact that, you know, the industry itself really, spurs off so many adjacent businesses, right, from infrastructure that needs to be built with arenas, to companies that need to be formed to manage those arenas, to, you know, TV production companies and merchandising and events and security and catering, and we go on and on and on. And these are all industries that we feel that the BAL can be a catalyst for driving and, you know, really pushing forth on the African continent. And I think, you know, the work that we've done in Rwanda is a prime example of that, you know, and the work that the Rwandan government, in a very short amount of time, really bring basketball to the forefront, for that country, and all the, you know, infrastructure development investments that have been made there. Those are also being made here in Senegal and across the continent, and, you know, we are really in the middle of that and, you know, like the fact that we are catalysts for all of that to happen. Secondarily, we also feel very strongly that the BAL is a catalyst for sports tourism. You know, we aim for us as a brand to be able to market Africa to itself, in the sense that if you are, you know, a family in Senegal and you're looking to go on vacation, you know, instead of thinking automatically that you have to go to the U.S. or to go to the U.K. or to go to France, there's so many beautiful, incredible, modern African cities that we don't explore
you know, on our own. And so, you know, we are here to say that we are playing these games in these incredible cities. And so around the game itself, the game becomes an aggregator, a community building event. And around that, we have workshops, we have hospitality events, we have concerts, we have music, entertainment. All of these things showcase the city. And so, you know, as we take this caravan concept from city to city, from Dakar to Cairo, from Cairo to Kigali, we want other people on the African continent to come along with us and experience these incredible cities. In addition, because the NBA and the BAL are here doing these things on the African continent, it should make it easier as a smoother entryway for tourists to come from the Western world as well and experience the incredible African cities that we have. So, you know, the BAL is really ambitious in what we are trying to do, both on the court and off the court.
Any surprises from this tournament, given the fact that the last tournament we had surprises like the ones involving rapper J. Cole? should we expect anything like that this time?
You know, it's a question that gets asked all the time, and you know, I have to be honest with you. You know, this was something that happened organically. It wasn't something that, you know, we went out and tried to make happen. You know, he had been, you know, really training hard and was in touch with one of our teams, and the team thought he you know, could help them win and brought him on board. So, you know, we are always here to support our teams in trying to find the best talent globally.
John Manyo Plange is the head of strategy and operations for the Basketball Africa League. I'm VOA Sonny Young. I'm joined by my VOA colleague, Eddie Rima. And joining us from Kigali, Rwanda, is Arnold Quizera. Arnold, the format of this second season of the BAL, three countries. It tips off on Saturday in Dakar, Senegal, with Sahara Conference games. And then it will move to Egypt in April for the Nile Conference games before wrapping up with the playoffs and final sort of in your backyard in Kigali, Rwanda. Arnold, do you like that format? And speak about the playoffs and final being held once again in Kigali.
You know what? I'm really okay with whatever formats the Basketball Africa League are trying out, because I feel the tournament is still in its infancy. We're trying to figure out what works for us. But, I mean, as Africa, because you have all these teams playing, we can't in a way have maybe the NBA model or the Eurobasket model that was the way it played that way, because the things that need to be built, one of those is infrastructure, and has to be world-class infrastructure for these players and teams to be able to play at this tournament. But the way it is at the moment, and the way they're spreading it out as the Basketball Africa League, I think they're doing a tremendous job. I'm very okay with it. You get about, let's say the Sahara Conference having about 7 teams there, and you have 4 teams qualifying. If you have 4 teams qualifying from each group, 18 going to Kigali for the finale and the playoffs. I believe the atmosphere will be fantastic. The number of jobs created as well for the local community from Dakar to Cairo to Kigali will have an impact on the economies of those countries as well. But it's just not just the basketball. It's the lifestyles that are created of this. We're seeing organic African shoemaking companies trying to get some of the players to put on their sneakers at this tournament. I think we're going to expect an announcement from one of the players very soon. You know, them partnering with the local their local company. So it's beyond just the basketball. It's more than 1,000 jobs are created, but the excitement is going to be definitely there. Africans know how to have a party. They know how to create a good vibe. And, you know, who better than the people in Dakar or Kigali or Cairo to do this after pandemic? So the format, definitely, it's something that I think is great for the tournament, for the growth of the sport. And it's something that we needed for a very long time as basketball lovers on the continent.
Thank you so much, Arnold Kwizera. John, as we wrap up this episode, do you guys have any plans of expanding this tournament beyond the 12 teams in the near future?
Yeah, I think this is definitely something that we're always going to keep an eye on, you know, and you know, there are conversations that are ongoing about expansion, both from the standpoint of teams and also from the standpoint of the markets that we're going to play in. I mean, the opportunity on the African continent is just incredible. You know, 54, you know, a great, wonderful countries, and you know, as you stated earlier on, you know, new ones coming into the league. You know, countries like South Sudan that, you know, in a very short amount of time have become a real powerhouse on the African continent. You have a country like South Africa that, you know, traditionally isn't really known for basketball, but based on, you know, what the BAL is bringing to the table, you know, an individual team owner, they really put a lot of work and effort into building a team. And, you know, now basketball is starting to really, you know, take root and take hold there. So we're really excited about what the future holds for us, and expansion is definitely on the table.
And one final question for John Magno-Plange. John, just ahead of the tournament, the BAL announced BAL Elevate for NBA Academy Africa prospects. Interesting, these young players age 15 to 19 will be joining the 12 BAL teams for the competition. Is that kind of the age group that you're seeking to develop, that 15 to 19 age group?
Definitely is a, you know, key age group from an elite development standpoint. And, you know, these young men who are part of the academy program here are, you know, incredible, first off, human beings, you know, great character, and, you know, are part of our development program and you know, family of NBA programs. And, you know, these are kids that potentially, you know, could be in the NBA one day. And that's where the BAL comes into play as well. It allows them a setting for them to be able to participate on a professional team in a professional setting at a very high level right here on the African continent. You know, so we're very, very pleased about that. And, you know, what I was saying to you before, about the basketball development pyramid, the Elevate program essentially links the development work with the professionalism that the BAL brings. So these players, you know, have gone through the development program, they're part of the academy, they have honed their skills, and now they get a chance to showcase that to the world. And the BAL is broadcast globally, over 215 countries, multiple languages, on, you know, your radio platform, and so these young men get a chance to really showcase their skills at a young age, but in, you know, on this incredible global platform.
John Magno-Plange, head of strategy and operations for the Basketball Africa League, speaking with us from Dakar, Senegal. Thanks to John, thanks to my VOA colleague Eddie Rima, and thanks to Arnold Kwizera, CNBC Africa Markets editor and a sports commentator. Thanks for joining us on this special Basketball Africa League edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, Dave. get it.